gentlemen, your attention, please.
Hello.
Hey, look who's here.
Hi. I was wondering what they're going to be doing with that Pete McMurray. Not a big fan of his.
What are we, in junior high school? Like, what the hell? What is this?
Pete! How you doing, man?
Here's Pete McMurray on 720 WGN.
Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It is holiday week, Christmas week. Hanukkah started yesterday, day two of Hanukkah. I need to go out and do my holiday shopping. How's everybody doing this morning? It's good to see Dave Ennett.
Good morning. Unfortunately,
you had to remind me that the Bears lost, and you put me in a bad mood.
Okay, you had forgotten? It only happened like about 7 hours ago.
I was on Fox last night, and I drove home, and I listened to Hamp and OB. Mm. OB was so upset that he lost his voice. He lost his voice while he was on the air because he was screaming so much.
Yeah,
they're wound up.
It was tough. That was of all the games this year, the one where almost from the start you felt they had no shot.
No shot. You can't put a team up 17-0 at halftime like that.
But not even that. Even before that, Pete. I mean, that was
when
just...
Trubisky started just running on his own the first three plays or whatever. I went, oh man,
just bad.
I mean, their last home game against Dallas. Yeah, I think left people feeling a little bit encouraged. Of course, turns out that was their last win.
Right.
But there was nothing that happened last night that you could say, well, there's something we can build on.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
So glad I went to bed.
Even though we were eliminated from the playoffs, we just wanted to see them fight last night.
Yeah. I mean, what did we hear all week? What was the narrative? We need to go out. We want to win the game. We want to build momentum for next year.
Yep.
Want to finish strong. And
when I heard that Akeem Hicks was out, I'm like, wait a second. Are they folding already? I know he's got the bad elbow, but he really wanted to play. And apparently they just said, it's over.
You know,
it's all over, guys.
As bad as 26-3 sounds, if the Chiefs don't have that one drive in the second quarter with all the penalties, it's probably worse.
Right. That's one of the things that I can't wait to talk to Hamp about, and the penalties. Discipline. Yeah. He was screaming last night on the way home. Screaming. Wow, he is wound up.
The only good thing is they did get Devin Hester bobbleheads. Because my son was at the game and he came home with one. So
really?
I saw it on the counter this morning. I almost stole it.
Do you think the Bears would send those to the station? Say, hey, here you go, guys. Have some bobbleheads. The Blackhawks do that.
They do, but we carry the Blackhawks.
I understand that.
Yeah, so we're not going to get the Devin Hester
bobble. Maybe if we beg and plead louder. See, I would think you'd get them at Fox.
You would think, but no. I am a season ticket holder. I haven't been able to go to too many games because I've been working on Sundays. So I think I went to three games this year.
Who took your tickets last night? Because they probably got the bobblehead.
I split them with my brother Dave, and I think he sold them. He's like, I'm not going.
Dave.
Smart, though. Yeah, smart. I think a lot of people did that.
Here's the other thing. It was a beautiful night.
It was perfect.
Yes, can you believe
perfect
that?
For football.
December 22nd, and it was mild. It was...
There's nothing that I enjoy more than tailgating before a Bear game. Hanging out with your buddies, my brothers. I just love it. I absolutely love it. And I was thinking about that. How much fun would it have been to tailgate yesterday? And then the game started. Yeah.
And by the way, the boos were about as loud as we've heard them all. And there have been some bad games. But
you're right.
The fans were, they had their vocal cords warmed up last night.
And I have the, I'm married to a Packer fan, so she's like, hey, there's always next year. I have to hear that from my wife. So immediately the fights start. And I hope the Packers get beat tonight by the Vikings. I really do.
Yeah.
And our last game of the season is against the Vikings.
Can your wife
Minnesota
watch the game?
Next week.
Can your wife watch the game with my husband tonight?
Oh, my gosh.
Because
last
night, he stayed on the front porch last night. I'm like, you stay on your little man cave TV.
The front porch?
Yeah, we have a TV out there.
You have a TV on the front porch?
Awesome.
I've heard of a TV in a garage.
Yeah.
My neighbor has a TV in his garage.
Yeah, a lot of people do. They're man caves.
Right.
Yeah.
But the front porch.
Yeah, you can see what's going on, see the sights. It's actually kind of fun out there watching people. unless it's dark.
Is it screened in?
No, it's windows all around.
Interesting.
It's a very old house, big front porch, and it's heated.
Okay. I like that.
It's very cool.
Okay. That's good. So we'll talk to Hamp right after 7 o'clock. Looking forward to that. And Dr. Kevin Most will join us at 6:40. Got some questions about the cold and flu season with Doc Most.
That's good, because I got a cold.
Me too. You probably got it from me.
Is everybody sick on this show?
I had not. Yeah. You know, I hadn't been sick all winter. Everyone else was sick. And then I woke up with it, and I had a game Saturday night.
Right.
And I've been taking stuff and trying to fight through it.
Got to wash your hands.
Yeah, I'm going to go and grab that hand sanitizer. Yeah.
I've had this since, like, I don't know, last Thursday, maybe.
Oh, boy.
But it's not a bad cold. It's just, you know, annoying. It's not bad.
Wash your hands. Don't touch me. No hugs today.
I think I'm past that stage anyway.
Don't hug me, Dave. Work.
Even though we hug after the show.
We always hug.
There was a carjacking with kids inside last night. Let's check in with Courtney Guzman from WGN-TV. Courtney, can you give us the details, please?
Yeah, good morning, Pete. I just have to say hello to my old dancing buddy. we did Dancing with the Stars together, guys. We had a great time. Pete was great.
We did. We'll get to that in a second. Go ahead.
So when it comes to this carjacking, it actually had a happy ending, believe it or not. We're talking about three children who were inside of a vehicle, 2018 Toyota Highlander. Dad pulled up to a Domino's here on the 3100 block of West Devon, and he hopped out, likely to get a pizza inside, and left a 16-year-old daughter in the passenger seat, and had a 9-year-old son in the back and a 4-year-old daughter in the back. And before you know it, another vehicle pulled up, a Toyota Camry, which happened to be stolen. Someone hopped out of the passenger seat and then into this Toyota Highlander and pulled off with the kids inside. Now, this carjacker only went about 3 blocks before he realized, oh, this is probably the wrong thing to do.
Right.
He bailed his vehicle in the 3500 block of West Devon, which is right across the border in Lincolnwood. And I'm happy to say that those kids were reunited with their dad rather quickly. But we also know that stolen Camry involved in this carjacking was picked up by officers later on in the morning, or late last night, I should say. 4200 block of West Lawrence is where they found four individuals. They actually pulled them over at a gas station in that area and arrested them. Charges are now pending against four individuals. However, they did say that the driver got away, but it's my understanding they do have whereabouts or know about where this driver lives. So I'm assuming they will be picking up this fifth person very soon.
So the family is safe, and they got the carjackers except one who they're heading to get right now.
Sounds like it to me, yes. And it was really a happy ending when you consider how frightening this ordeal would have been.
Right.
You talk about a dad going in probably to get pizza, to get dinner. It was around 11:20 last night. Who knows? And, you know, we've all done it. You know, left the kids in the car, left the car running very quickly. I'm just coming right back out. Well, the criminals took an opportunity. They saw an opportunity, they took it, and they stole this vehicle, but it was more than they bargained for. Three children inside, including a teenage girl who was in the passenger seat.
Right.
So that ride, that frightening ordeal, didn't last very long, only about 4 blocks before the carjacker realized, hey, I'm going to bail on this. This is not what I signed up for.
I have a 14-year-old, Courtney. I do this all the time. It's like, Charlie, hold on. I'm going to run inside, grab some pizza. I'm going to run to, I'm going to run inside. Jewel, just wait out here. All the time.
Exactly. And you just think, especially when you're talking about teenagers, a 16-year-old in the passenger seat, she probably is learning how to drive. She
doesn't
even have her license at this point.
Right.
And so it's not a big deal to hop out and go grab something really quickly, but you just never know. It's the holiday season, and unfortunately, we still have some Grinches out here wanting to seize the moment. So everyone be careful out there.
Right. And I do want to mention that you and I did do Dancing with the Stars here in Chicago. You were so much fun to hang out with.
Oh, my God, so are you. You were so competitive. I didn't know you were dodging all this time behind my back.
I practiced like crazy, and I really thought I was going to win this competition. But unfortunately,
you were so good. He did. Hey guys, if you guys didn't get to see that, Google it. It's all up on YouTube. His dance is amazing. Unfortunately, my dance is up on YouTube too. But he had this James Bond theme. It was pretty amazing. I loved it. I thought you did great.
It's all about the theme, Dave. Everything and Mary, as you know, it's all about the theme when you're dancing and
attitude.
James Bond attitude. And I started the dance and I missed a step and I couldn't get it out of my mind. So it kept screwing me up.
I don't think that was it. You know what? I think you did fabulous. And I know I was very nervous. I had to go first. And so I was, oh my God, my heart was in my throat when it was time for me to go up. But I was so glad that it was over. It was so much fun. And I missed a step or two, too. They told me the judges actually picked up on it. So whatever. I still had fun. But
Courtney, be honest. Did Pete ever step on your toes?
No, he didn't. We didn't get to dance together, unfortunately, but I would love a redo. That would be awesome. I would love to be, part of that James Bond thing that you did.
Out of everybody that danced, I'd like to think that we were the two that were the most fun.
We were.
We enjoyed the entire process.
That's what matters. Everybody will remember your dances.
There was people that were stressed out, and they practiced like crazy. We just came in, had some fun, and then we had drinks afterwards. That's what it's all about.
And the thing was, we all raised a ton of money for breast cancer research. That was the whole point.
Yep.
And I think I raised somewhere over 10 grand, which wasn't my goal. I had set a much smaller goal and ended up raising a ton of money. So I was very proud of myself, actually. And, I had so many friends and family that chipped in to help. So
I thought there would be maybe 100 people that showed up to watch us. There was like 500 people. I didn't realize how big it was.
Apparently people love to watch people dance and make fun of us dancing.
And are you working this week? What are you doing for Christmas?
Yeah, I'm working. You'll see me on the WGN Morning News on Christmas morning. I'll be anchoring from 6 to 8, so come on and tune in. I think we'll have the log on, the fire log. I think that'll be on prior to us. A lot of people enjoy that, actually. I enjoy it when I'm up early in the morning on the holidays, like Christmas, and I'm cooking. Turn on the fire log. It just gives you that warm feeling. And then we're coming on from 6 to 8 on Christmas Day, so join us then. But I'll be around this week. Matter of fact, I'm working an extra day this week, so bah humbug.
Let me get this straight. So on Christmas night, you guys usually what does WGN play? The Scrooge? Is it Scrooge, the old version?
You know, we might play that. I haven't looked at the programming logs for the day.
You're gonna be showing a Christmas movie, and then you go to the Christmas log all night.
The Christmas log comes on in the morning. It's a cool way to allow people to be off on the holiday.
Okay.
And people, like viewers, really enjoy the log. Like, have you ever watched the log? Like, put it on your TV. Gives you that warm feeling. You got the Christmas tree all lit up and you're in the kitchen cooking and getting ready for the holiday. I love it. And so, the Christmas log will likely be on in the overnight hours in the early morning leading up to our morning show at 6 a.m. So make sure you tune in. We actually get really good ratings on our logs.
We actually have the simulcast of it, so we'll have the crackling. You'll just hear the crackling of the log.
That is funny. Courtney, Merry Christmas. Good talking to you.
Merry Christmas to you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. So they play the Christmas log?
Yeah.
No programming? That's it?
Well, that is programming.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Not everybody's got a wood-burning fireplace.
Wait, is there music with it?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Usually there.
Netflix has that where you can pull it up and play the log.
Right. And that's good.
But I think actually like Xfinity, somewhere on your system, you can find it too.
This is like WGN TV. They're playing a log?
What you mean?
A fire.
Yeah, but you make it sound like it's.
Yeah. Now, the youngsters on the show won't remember this, but back in the day, around midnight, the national anthem would play and then it would go dark all night. Yeah. It's like the same thing.
Do you have to pay for the log?
I don't know.
Who do you pay?
Do they go to a commercial during the playing of the log?
This log is sponsored by.
Yeah, right. We'll be back with more of the log.
That is funny. Wow. I didn't realize they were going to do that. Huh. I enjoy watching the Christmas movies on Christmas night when my family goes to bed and I can just relax. I guess I'll be watching The Log. What time does The Log come on? Does it come on at midnight?
Whenever The Log wants to.
Right. Wow, that's interesting. So they're just going, well, it's nice that people behind the scenes are getting time off at WGN-TV, but, okay.
It is a burning Yule log hearth with holiday music, according to the WGN-TV website.
Okay.
So they have on, let's see, where was it? I just had it pulled up.
Well, at least they have the music.
They
that's
have
nice.
Christmas Eve, they run Bozo, Gar, and Ray. And then the Yule log, 1:30 to 6 a.m. on Christmas morning is what it says.
Boy, that's a long time. Do they break for commercials? I understand it's Christmas night, but...
They're also streaming it live.
What do you mean streaming it live?
WGNTV.com. You can pull it up on your computer.
Wow. Or your phone, if you want to...
I think that's great.
Fall asleep to the burning log.
Like you said, 4 a.m., we'll be doing that. log, I guess.
I was at a party on Saturday night, and on the big screen was the burning log.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at a bar, and the burning log was on a big screen.
On the cruise, there was a channel in the stateroom that had a burning log on.
Okay.
It's everywhere.
The burning log is very popular.
It's on land and sea.
Who knew? Okay. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Let's check in with Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. As we head into two holiday weeks, trading will probably quiet down just a little bit in agricultural commodities. Yesterday, President Trump at an event in Florida said the United States and China would very shortly sign their so-called Phase One trade agreement. The president said we just achieved a breakthrough on the trade deal and we will be signing it very shortly. And continuing on the China news, a Chinese agricultural expert says China won't have a problem buying $40 billion in U.S. farm goods a year, despite growing concerns over the feasibility of the deal. Shanghai JC Intelligence Company, China's most clued-in agricultural consultant and researcher, says the Asian country could spend $18.7 billion a year on U.S. soybeans. It could also buy about $7 billion worth of other grains and related products and more than $2 billion in poultry and chicken feet. And $2.5 billion worth of nuts, cotton, fish, and ethanol also on the table, according to that Chinese agricultural trade expert. And the markets and farm meeting activity pretty much on hold for the next couple of weeks. We'll have shorter trading hours and markets close for Christmas and New Year's holiday. So plan your marketing accordingly on that schedule for this week of Christmas and the next week of New Year's. That's Ag Biz. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Big O. I don't think a lot of people are working this week. That's the thing. Except us. Coming up, we're going to talk tipping. It's the final week. If you haven't gone through your tipping guide yet, you got to pull out the wallet. You got to tip a lot of people. Do you tip your accountant or physician, or should you? Dave?
No.
Your Mary?
Doctor?
Should you tip your doctor, yes or no?
We got to ask Dr. Most about that one.
Yeah. No, I've never heard of that.
Why not? Why wouldn't you tip your doctor?
Well, I think the idea of tipping is partly to help compensate people who maybe are relying heavily on that for their income.
You're right. Okay. Right? That is absolutely correct.
Yeah. But then again, it's somebody who gives you, you know, service of some sort. And I guess they kind of do, but, you know.
How about the nurses? And how often are you going to the doctor?
I think people give nurses candy all the time.
How about your dentist? Your hygienist? Do you tip?
No.
My dentist is my brother.
My dentist is my girlfriend. We just go out and have drinks.
First of all, you wouldn't bring anything sugary into a dental office.
Well, yeah, that's not good.
No, cash. I'm talking about cash. A little greenback
action. You're
going
to tip your brother? That's so weird.
I'm not going to tip my brother, but how about the dental hygienist?
But you go twice a year, right?
Well, I try to.
Do you always have the same hygienist?
Yeah, Kelly. She's been with him forever.
I think it'll look kind of creepy if you give Kelly a tip.
What about the other people in the office?
Here's a nice little 20, Kelly.
It'll look a little fishy.
Take it.
What about the receptionist?
Don't tell my brother that I don't floss on a regular basis. Thanks for that.
Well, like small gifts like candles and stuff like that is appropriate, but then again, most people would rather just have the cash.
Right, or the gift card.
We all want cash.
Mm-hmm.
No one gives me cash anymore over the holidays. I used to get cash all the time. Remember when you were younger, college?
Yeah, your grandparents just give you cash.
Yeah.
No, it's gift cards.
Nothing.
No, but I mean, kids in college now are a little older, like my kids, give them gift cards. That's what they want.
No, I'm talking about me. Oh, I want cash and gift cards.
Pete, are you angling for a tip here? Is that what you'd like? Would you like me to tip you?
Do you tip your radio host? Is anybody tipping me? All right, so we're going to run through the holiday tipping guide in just a second. All right, your holiday tipping guide. I need to go out and buy some gift cards today. Go to the bank, get some cash. U.S. mail carrier. What are you tipping your mail carrier? I've been waiting on this because mine is a woman that I've never met. I've never met her. We've lived in our new house for 2 years, and I've never met our mail carrier. So I'm looking to hand her the envelope and ask her her name. How much?
$20.
$20 is correct.
Yep, every year.
Have you
And by the way, it's not legal, but you do. Everybody does it.
Yeah, it's Chicago. A little something for the effort. Yes.
And
there
I'll
you
take
go.
It.
And I always get a thank you note in the mail like the next day or 2 days later. I don't see her.
Okay.
But I leave it in the mailbox.
Do you know her name?
No. And I think it sometimes changes, too, which you always wonder if it's the right person getting getting the tip. But
we know our guy, Jason.
I knew my old guy, Smitty. He used to smoke.
Hey, how you doing? What's going on?
Yeah. I used to have beers with him, too, every once in a while during the summertime.
What, in the middle of the shift?
Right. Want a beer?
Smitty would just hang out.
And I'm at the beginning of his shift. Wow. So he'd have a brewski and then
You're
walk
like
around.
His favorite, I'm sure.
Wow. People must have been getting mad when they're waiting for their mail.
What's going on at McMurray's house? He's drinking with the mail carrier.
Smitty's having a snort.
The UPS delivery person. How much?
No.
What? You don't tip your UPS person? Dave's like, mm-mm.
Then you got to tip the Amazon guy, the UPS guy.
Well, that's on the list.
Oh.
UPS, $25.
Getting kind of crazy.
FedEx, anywhere from $25 to $75.
The Amazon guy's always different anymore.
And they're so fast.
Amazon, $30.
Mm, $30?
$30?
I don't know my Amazon person because they just throw it on the porch. Amazon. $30. Amazon.
Man.
How about your cleaning staff? Do you have somebody that comes in, cleans your house?
That's adorable.
Adorable.
Yeah. That people have cleaning staffs?
Well, I mean, if you have a cleaning person.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
We do.
Okay.
We give her 1 week's
a week pay.
Yeah.
Right. How about the cleaning person here that we see every morning? Do you tip them?
I don't see them every morning.
No.
That woman that comes in and empties the garbage?
I never see her.
I don't see her.
I mean, I think that's something that the company would take care of,
I know who you're talking about, but
Mark.
I don't see her every day. And
no.
I think, that's on the company.
How about the people downstairs at security?
They're great. They're wonderful people.
Company.
Love them. I don't tip them.
$10.
I'll go down there and bring them a cookie.
They get $10. Or they would accept cookies.
In a building this size?
Yeah, that's kind
of I understand if it's like your door. If you're in a small building and you have a doorman, it's a little different when you're in a high-rise office building.
When we were at Tribune Tower, I knew all the security people at the front desk.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
So I used to, around Christmas time, I would bring them cookies and fun stuff. But I don't know people here yet.
No, these people are different. Yeah.
No,
I mean, they're different every time.
These people are different.
Every day. Sometimes it's the same guy, but usually.
I'm going to check it out while I'm filling in over the holidays. But if you have a doorman, you live in a high rise, anywhere from $10 to $80. When I lived in a high rise downtown, I hated my doorman. He was so mean to me.
Really?
I didn't get him anything.
Did you give him coal?
Do you think maybe if you had tipped him, he wouldn't have been
No,
so...
he's just, you know, when you're, I lived on the 10th floor and I'd forget something and I'd pull up. I'm like, I'm going to leave my car for a second. I got to run up and grab something. No, you can't do that. You got to park on the street.
Give him an expired gift card.
Wow. Teachers. How much for a teacher?
Well, that depends on how many you have to give to. Like, if you have, you know, three kids and they have multiple teachers, mm-hmm. it gets kind of crazy.
My son has four high school teachers. He doesn't have a homeroom. So how much for those four?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I would just give them a gift. Then they don't know how much you spent.
My husband is a high school teacher, and out of, like, the 80-something or 100-something kids that he has, he might get, like, three or four gifts. Like $10 really? Starbucks gift card.
$10? Not enough. Yeah. $25 for a teacher.
Yeah.
Wow.
$25.
I think that's what we used to do.
Yeah, my son-in-law's a teacher, and he uses those gift cards all year. He just loves them.
Yes.
McDonald's gift cards, Starbucks, anything, because he likes to eat out.
When Charlie was in grammar school, we used to grease the teachers. Here's $25. We used to. And if I was heading to... I felt like... I know it's only been one semester in high school, but, you know, when you spend 8 years at a grammar school, you get to know everybody in the school. So if you're headed to Costco, you'll email a teacher and say, what do you need? We used to do that.
We used to do something where you give, somebody collects the money and you give a certain amount and then you put your name on that card if you want to give to that teacher and they buy one gift card for that teacher. It's a lot easier.
I always feel like someone's going to leave me out. I like to do my own thing, get credit on the side. Babysitters.
It's been so long.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. Some give another, I don't know.
An extra night's pay.
I thought you were talking about like daycare. Well, daycare is different.
Daycare, gift card.
Yeah, because you can't pay them a whole week. Daycare is like, you know, that's a lot.
It's too much.
Plus they take their own time off and you have to pay them for time off that's included in their, you know, my son does. He has to pay his babysitter when she's not working, so.
Holiday tipping guide, your dog sitter or dog walker?
25? I don't know.
Gift card. $20 to $25.
Yeah.
I'm the dog walker.
On the dog walker.
Man.
I hate to admit this, but we have a dog walker on call when we need somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need somebody to run to your house, let your dog out. But not every day. No.
Or they have a beeper or something?
No, I just sent him a text. I go, hey, dude, can you go and walk the rigs?
What if he's busy?
He says no, and then we'll work it out. I don't know. But I don't think he's ever said no, come to think of it. Yeah, he gets there. But that's once every 3 weeks, possibly. How about the wait staff at your favorite restaurant?
Well, you always tip. But yeah. You mean an extra tip?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's...
Extra $10.
I would say that if I am in a restaurant this time of year, I usually tip a little extra. If you're in there over the holidays, throw in a little extra.
What about a place that you visit, or you frequently visit? Are you going to throw a little extra something?
I don't think there's any place I really visit that much.
How about your locker room attendant? I know you work out on a regular basis.
Again, there's no attendant in the locker room.
$10. Locker room attendant. $10. If you have one. How about a parking attendant? You know Harry downstairs in the garage? Do you tip Harry? Do you guys know Harry with
the
glasses?
Who the heck is Harry?
I don't know.
He's the guy that sits at that desk when you pull in the parking garage downstairs.
Well, we never have one at this hour in the morning. Nobody's sitting anywhere.
There's no one there.
I can't even afford to park in that garage. I ride my bike there.
Do you know if you park your bike there, you tip Harry? Harry's the guy that sits at the podium.
What does he do? Like,
because
I think
so...
we park in different garages. There's no Harry in my garage.
You park downstairs?
No.
Oh, do you park next door?
Yes.
Oh, okay. See, I park downstairs.
Okay.
And then that's why you get to know Harry.
Harry sits at a podium like he's about ready to make a speech.
Well, does he park your car for you?
No, but it's so jammed downstairs. It's the weirdest thing. We have two levels, and it's always packed. And I'm like, Harry, can I park up front right here? Where they, you know, put the cars for the car wash. He's like, yeah, no problem.
Well, if he's doing you favors, you absolutely have to tip.
I'm going to take care of him. I will. Let's see. Beauty professionals, the person that cuts your hair, how much? holiday tipping.
Oh, that is up to, yeah, everybody does different things with that. People give gifts, people give more tips. Yeah, that's a hard one because I don't know.
Yeah, how much do you pay for a haircut, Pete?
15% to 20%.
But what's, so you don't just double the price?
Like, I do.
Yeah, see, that's what I do.
$30 for a haircut.
Yeah, plus, so I just throw an extra, whatever, $20-$30
right over the holidays.
Yeah,
you got to do that.
Yeah, mine's my girlfriend, so I like to give her a little something, a card or something.
A little something, something.
Yeah.
But we mentioned this earlier. Your accountant or your physician or your dentist, no need to tip.
That's a relief.
You left out the guys who collect your garbage and recyclables.
That's a tough one,
man.
I don't know who does that. And that's a tough one. I can't leave it out there. Someone's going to steal it. So what do you do?
I do. I tape an envelope to the garbage receptacle.
And it's never been stolen.
Never. And
that's what we do.
And here's what they do. Mary, I don't know if they do this in your neighborhood. As a thank you, they put your garbage cans up by your garage or by your house. And that's how you know they got the tip.
No, we never had that before.
Instead of leaving it.
I am absolutely going to do that this week. I get my garbage collected on Friday.
Okay.
I'll tape it inside the lid.
We get ours tomorrow, so tonight I will put the money out there.
How much?
I don't want to say now on the radio. People are going to be driving by my house.
Exactly.
What's that envelope inside Dave Ennett's garbage? Let me check it out. I heard him talking about it. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Our phone number 312-981-7200. The 6 at 6 coming up in just a second. We'll talk to Dr. Most around 6:40. Cold and flu season. Everybody get their flu shot on the show?
I got mine just a week before last at a Walgreens.
At a Walgreens, okay.
I wasn't here the day Dr. Most came in to give everybody shots.
I was here. I got my flu shot.
I went to Walgreens, got my flu shot.
It was fine.
Yeah, and it's free if you have insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's quick. But it's weird how they put you behind that little foldable wall.
Yeah.
Did they do that for you?
Now, I was at a Walgreens in Florida.
They must be nice. I was in a Walgreens in Florida. They don't have the little private area where they bring out the, you know what I'm talking about?
Well,
the accordion wall?
Yeah, and they put it around a corner. There was no, I didn't notice any kind of pop-up wall.
I went in with my son Charlie, and the pharmacist comes around. He's like, okay, let's move over here. And he brings out the wall, and we're behind the wall. And there's people in line as we're getting our shots. It's just a little odd. But we'll talk flu with Dr. Most, cold and flu season at 6:35. Christmas time means people get engaged over the holidays. You know, Vivi's been dating her boyfriend George for a year and a half.
Here we go.
We talked on the phone yesterday. I said it's probably a good idea for you to get a manicure just in case. Because if it happens, you want to take a picture of your hand and you want your nails to look good.
Yeah, we need that for Instagram and Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. Did you get a manicure?
I sure did.
Oh.
But not because I think I'm getting engaged, but because it was due.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This could be it.
I don't think so.
You guys have talked about it.
Well, of course you talk about it. I mean, right. We've been together for about a year. So, yeah, it's a serious relationship. So, yeah, it's normal to talk about it. But I don't think we're going to get engaged this Christmas.
Dave and Mary, do you remember when you were dating your honey, and after a year, it seemed like such a long time, but now that you've been married for 20-plus years, a year is nothing.
30-plus years.
A year is nothing. You've only been dating for a year, that's it?
Yeah.
You got to give it more time.
We didn't even date for a year.
Really?
Well, we had known each other because we were working together, so we had known each other a year and a half prior to that. We just weren't dating, but yeah.
I dated my wife for 3 years.
Yeah, I think we were about 3 years.
Yeah.
Gee.
That's normal.
I know people who dated for like 10 years.
Yeah, we were together for like 7, I think, before we got married.
7?
Yeah.
7's too long.
Well, I mean, honestly, this day and age, there's really not a lot of perks to go with it. You get a tax a tax penalty instead of...
Not,
I mean, you're already living together.
It's not about that,
yeah,
Jen.
Yeah, Jen is so romantic.
Listen to her.
It's about the union, being together as one.
Yeah.
What if marriage? You're already living together anyway, exactly. Which is what most
and
people are
sin,
doing.
You need to go to confession for that. And that's a different show. Yeah. No, they say, relationship experts say, the first year, every 3 months is a transition period. And then you get to year three, that's a transition period. So you're reaching the end of your first year, Vivi, so this could be it.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know if it happens. Okay. You'll find out. Don't
when do
worry.
You when do you see George?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Yeah, 5:30. I land in L.A. So I'll be back. Actually, this is going to be our first flight together because we're coming back together on the 29th.
That's love, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So you guys can tell your family.
Oh my gosh! You know you guys got to stop. You guys got
to
stop.
That would be great. You have to let us know so we can throw a party when you come back.
You got it.
All right.
Did he tell you to pack something nice?
Make sure you have we're going. Well, it's a Christmas party that we're going to, so I mean, I have to bring something nice.
After the Christmas party.
Stop it.
Boy, I can remember to this day the ring in my pocket before I asked my wife to get married. It was burning a hole in my pocket, and I couldn't wait to do it. We went out to dinner at our first place, and then after dinner, where did I do it? We went back to her place, got down on one knee. Nailed it.
Did you have a photographer there?
No, right? I did not.
Because that's
a
what all the kids do now. They have it all set
do,
up.
Yes, and the video, and everybody has that. No, just us. Yeah, I don't need to share it with anybody.
Did you have champagne or anything?
I think we had wine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't look too sure.
Yeah, I think there was wine involved. But good luck with that, BB.
Thanks.
We're all rooting
it.
For you.
Yes. Oh, you guys are the
we
best.
We love George. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. 6 at 6 coming up next.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the Top 6 at 6.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Time for the Top 6 at 6. At number 1, 4 people arrested. 1 person remains on the loose after a running SUV with 3 children inside carjacked last night in the West Rogers Park neighborhood before ditching the vehicle nearby. We talked to Courtney Guzman earlier from WGN-TV, said that 3 were arrested and the 1 that is remaining, they're on their way to pick him up right now. All right. Number 2, Top 6 at 6, President Trump signed a $1.4 trillion spending package on Friday that will put off possibly a government shutdown until next fall, money earmarked for gun violence research and raising the age for buying tobacco to 21. Finally. All right. Number 3, Dave Ennett had to remind us today the Bears lose 26-3 to the Chiefs after brutal first half on Sunday Night Football. You can't spot the Chiefs 17 points in the first half.
No, no. Yeah, I mean, and the way they did it, too, because running into the kicker penalty kept their touchdown drive alive that put them up by 17.
Terrible. Yeah. Just terrible. How would you grade the Bears last night?
I think you give them a failing grade. Can you think of anything aside from Eddie Pinheiro kicking a field goal? Anything they really did well last night?
No.
I mean, I think that the defense, shorthanded as it is, did their best to keep them, kind of give them a shot, but they weren't effective. I mean, they tried, but that now also you're playing one of the best teams in the NFL, so
right.
It's going to take more than just a little effort to go out and beat them.
There was no effort, though. There was no effort on the Bears' part. Mitch Trubisky, is he in the last year of his contract next year?
Yeah.
Because they talked about, do you give Mitch Trubisky an extension? They talked about that last night during the broadcast. Absolutely not. You do not do that, do you? No.
No, I think you kind of know where you are. I mean, this is the end of 3 years.
3 years. You know what you got. This is it.
Yeah, the experiment is over.
Yeah. It's over.
Now I have one of his jerseys, too. Ugh.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. Number 4. Starting January 1st, it's going to cost you $4.50 per hour to leave your car on a neighborhood street as the city plans to install new meters downtown. So the price is going up 50 cents. So downtown in the theater district, in the main areas in the Loop, it goes from $6.50 an hour to $7 an hour.
Are they putting physical meters there as opposed to just the boxes?
The parking boxes.
Okay.
Yes, but they still call them meters. The new parking boxes will take up nearly every block in the West Loop from Carroll Avenue to Madison Street and Ogden to Halsted. So new boxes are going in.
Listen, if it helps create more parking on the street, because it's so tough. I mean, I hate to say it, but I think those boxes kind of help in some neighborhoods where instead of having to find a meter, you're able to find a space. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where it's not, I can see where you're saying.
There's a little extra room to park your car.
But it's so expensive now, $7 an hour.
Yeah, that's,
you might as well do Spot Hero.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's the problem.
That's crazy. This city just nickels and dimes us with everything. It's nuts. All right. Number five. Hit it!
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir. At my friends.
The Rise of Skywalker made $175.5 million over the weekend. It ranks as the third largest weekend of the year. The Rise of Skywalker pulled in $374 million worldwide, according to studio estimates released yesterday. They said that it'd make $200 million in the United States. $175, I think it's a pretty good weekend. Not bad. Has anybody seen the movie?
Not yet.
I have not.
We're all busy. Bad reviews for this, but it's Star Wars. It's like pizza. Even if it's bad, it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
I will absolutely go see this over the break.
I will. Yeah, it's too busy right now.
Sad news. Cats only made $6.5 million.
I will not see that.
Who is going to see Cats at the movie theater?
I never liked the musical. Why would I go see the movie?
I just saw the musical like 2 days ago on the cruise ship, and I didn't get it. Like, do they talk in the movie? Will they be able to explain the point of the story?
What is the point of the story? It's Cats.
There is no point in the story. I saw the musical and it was a waste of my time.
It's Cats, right?
Is it just,
and they
like
dance.
Introducing every single cat that's on stage? Is that how it goes?
And then they sing Memories. I mean, that's it.
Do they?
Memories.
Do they really?
And then does a cat die?
I don't know if they do in the
movie. I saw the trailer for Cats. It's a little creepy.
Yeah, the CGI, very creepy.
I don't understand who's going to see this.
And plus, if you don't like cats in general.
Yeah, you know, I don't. I'm allergic.
Me either. Me too.
Yeah. We've come so far as to waxing human bodies, and then they put hair all over them. In cat suits.
They need Brazilians, all of them.
All right, and finally, Eddie Murphy returned to Saturday Night Live after 35 years, and he brought back some characters. Can we play Buckwheat first? Do we have Buckwheat? Mr. Wheat?
Let me tell you something. I saved this damn show from the gutter, and it's thanks to me. This is the thanks that I get for saving the show. Shame on you, Lorne Michaels. Shame on you, NBC. Shame on you.
All right, Gumby, just calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down, trailer boy.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, another one of his characters.
Hi, boys and girls. It's your old pal, Mr. Robinson. So much has changed since we last spent some time together. My neighborhood has gone through so much. It's gone through something called gentrification. Can you say gentrification, boys and girls? It's like a magic trick. White people pay a lot of money, and then poof, all the black people are gone. But where do they go, boys and girls? Back to where they come from, of course. Atlanta.
And his monologue, he had some celebrities that walked out on stage.
Come on, man. I wouldn't miss this for the world. My kids love Lizzo.
Hey, watch out. My kids love Lizzo, too.
Okay, but check this out. Did you get my sketch?
Oh, yeah, that the Law and Order UTI sketch?
Yeah. But instead of iced tea, it's cranberry juice.
That was Chris Rock. Dave Chappelle came on during the monologue. If you haven't seen it yet, it was great. He was really good on Saturday Night Live. Eddie Murphy, 35 years. I'm sure they're going to rerun that about three more times over the holidays so people can check it out. All right, that's it for the 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's it.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live had their best ratings in 2 years. Almost 10 million people tuned in on Saturday night to watch Eddie. And in the opening monologue, which you can check out online, Tracy Morgan, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock. Why are we always so happy to see Dave Chappelle? When he walked on stage, I love Chris Rock, Tracy, fine, he's been on a few times this season, but Dave Chappelle, everybody is always so happy to see him. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe because he went away and then he came back?
I don't know. I never felt that way.
I love seeing Chappelle. Well, the best ratings in 2 years with Eddie Murphy.
He's just so real. That's what I love about him.
He's a great storyteller.
Yeah, he really is. And he makes fun of himself. That's the best part.
Right. That was a great monologue. You should check that out. Doc Mose, cold and flu season. We have two people on the show right now that have colds. Apparently, they're not washing their hands.
It's not true.
Not true.
Now, no. During a commercial break, Vivi, who made, what did you make today?
Melomacarona.
I don't even know what that means.
Greek honey cookies.
Okay, so you made some cookies and you walked it around. Did any of the people that have colds touch your plate?
No. No, Dave did not have one, so...
Okay. How about Mary?
No, Mary. Mary
touched the plate. I just touched the little cupcake holder.
I'm just... Well, your hand got near the plate. I just want to make sure because I'm going to have a cookie after the show.
So I made 7 types of cookies this weekend. Does that mean you're not going to eat any of them? Because I made them all?
You know what? I'll ask Dr. Most about that.
Yeah.
And then I'll make my decision.
I washed my hands 150 times when I did it.
Because
I did dishes the entire time.
You didn't wear gloves?
Gloves? You can't make cookies with gloves.
Well, we'll talk to Dr. Most next. All right, it's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, or if you have a question for Dr. Most. He is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care, and he joins us now. Doc Most, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Pete. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Great to hear your voice. We have a few people on the show that are a little under the weather. We're going to get to that in a second, but it is the flu season. I wanted to ask you, how late is too late to get a flu shot?
Well, probably the latest time I'd get one would be late February. So really, right now is still a very key time because we're just starting to see, we're seeing flu nationwide, but we're really starting to see it increase here locally in the past, probably 5 to 7 days.
I haven't seen anybody with the flu that's been in my circle. How about you?
Yeah, we've seen quite a few, as a matter of fact. I mean, the hospitals have been full around here, so we are seeing a lot. There's been quite a few hospitalizations. And the unusual thing is we're seeing a flu strain that we normally see later in the season popping up earlier. So it's kind of catching us a little off guard.
The flu strain is usually, they usually say, well, this year's flu strain is going to be stronger than ever. Why does it keep getting stronger every year, and why does it change?
Yeah, it kind of waxes and wanes. So some years we expect to have a really bad flu season, others we don't. So this year we expect a bad one because the southern hemisphere, which kind of leads into our flu season, had a really bad year with the flu influenza A H3N2. That influenza is one that just doesn't really stay in your head and make you kind of feel miserable and body aches. That's the one that gets deeper into your lungs, can cause pneumonia, and in seniors and compromised individuals, actually leads to more death. So that's why we're concerned this year, because of that H3N2. And the reason we worry about it is that it changes every year. If it was one simple bacteria and we knew when it was going to come, it would be much easier to treat. But each year, we see a little tweak, we see some mutations, and then we try to make sure that that vaccine matches up with what we're going to be exposed to.
Have they ever not got the vaccine right?
Oh, yeah. Numerous times.
Really? Because it's hard to predict, isn't it? Okay, we got a flu strain coming. Oh, no, here comes another one, and everybody already had their flu shot.
Yep, that's exactly what's happened. So even just a few years ago, I think the efficacy of the vaccine was at about 12%. This year, they're looking at closer to a little bit over 50%, which is good.
Right.
But it's still not anywhere near, 90, 80, where we really want the protection to be.
So this is a guess on medicine's part.
Yeah, it's a good, educated guess. And this year is kind of interesting. Normally, we start to make that vaccine late January, early February. Because of what happened in the Southern Hemisphere, we pushed it back and didn't even start making it until March because they changed on the fly from what they thought they were going to do to what they did this year. And hopefully, we'll hit that H3N2 appropriately, and we'll see some great protection later.
If you start having flu symptoms, is there something that you can buy over the counter that'll nip it right away?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably one of the most important things. People that didn't get the flu shot or got the flu shot but still have symptoms of the flu, because like we said, it may not be totally effective. The importance of the antiviral medications being started within the first 48 hours is key. So if you start feeling like, wait, I just got 101 fever and I'm starting to feel achy and it's Friday, don't wait till Monday to see the doc. Get into the emergency room or a convenient care or an urgent care, because if we start those antiviral medicines early, we'll really shorten that duration and really make it a lot safer for you. This year, it appears that the antiviral medications are very effective with the strain we're being exposed to right now.
So go to the doctor right away. Don't go to your pharmacy and grab like Tylenol flu.
Correct. You know, Tylenol flu will help the symptoms,
yeah,
but the antiviral medications will actually shorten the duration of the illness.
Wow. I had no idea. I thought you'd take the Tylenol flu and just kind of wait it out. So
yeah.
You say go to the doctor.
Yes, but go early. If you go on day three, day four, we're really going to tell you there's really not much more to do than go back to the Tylenol, because the importance of starting that drug early on in the illness is how you're going to see the benefit.
What is it, 7 to 10 days for the flu, or it just depends?
No, it is. It's usually 7 to 10 days, and it's 7 to 10 days of really feeling terrible. If people say, I'm not getting the vaccine because I've never gotten influenza, I assure you, once you get influenza, you will not miss the vaccine. You know, 101, 102, 103 fever, body aches, headaches, you feel terrible, and it feels like someone just hit you with a truck.
Well, when we come back, I want to ask you about colds, because there's two people on the show that have a cold. My 14-year has a cold. I want to ask you about over-the-counter medications. Vivi is going to be flying to California. Germs on a plane, germs in an airport. So we'll talk about that coming up next. Again, Doc Mose is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. And we bring back Dr. Kevin Mose. Is there anything we can buy over-the-counter to cure a cold, Doc?
If there was a cure and I knew what it was, I'd be living in Tahiti right now, Pete.
But how about the zinc? Does the zinc work?
Does the zinc.
Yeah. So things like zinc and things like airborne will definitely help you kind of prevent those. And again, people even think like vitamin C. So, you know, eating a good balanced diet and having great vitamins is going to keep your immune system up. But if you get exposed to the right virus at the right time, your body's just going to have to fight it off. That's probably the biggest message.
You got that, Dave? It's going to take 7 to 10 days.
I'm actually...
No, not for a cold, though, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, colds are really bizarre because some colds will last 2-3 days. Other colds will last 3-4 weeks.
Right.
And it's really the symptoms is the biggest thing that we get kind of frustrated with, because really it's more of an aggravation than it is an illness.
Yeah, wow.
The tickle thing in the throat.
That was driving me nuts last night.
Yeah, and then if you take NyQuil, we won't wake up. And I actually took a half a thing of NyQuil last night.
Well, you take the stuff that dries out the inside of your nose. What is the antihistamine?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people take the antihistamines. It's kind of interesting. You take the antihistamines, one, because you want to sleep, and two, because it does dry you out. Well, if you think about it, what my biggest drug that I really promote is one called Mucinex. It's guaifenesin. It's an expectorant. It does the exact opposite of what an antihistamine does.
Love it. Yep.
But people say, well, wait, when I take Mucinex, I cough more and I blow my nose more. And I'm like, it's working. That's exactly what we want. Mucinex allows us to mechanically remove some of the stuff from us. So, Dave, that tickle in the back of your throat is secretions dripping back from your nose and the upper respiratory
sounds
into
yummy.
Your throat. Yeah.
Wow.
How's that for with your cornflakes this morning? But I actually use that that sinus rinse thing. It's in an aerosol can. And
well,
again, I don't want to get...
No,
you know,
it's like the neti pot, right?
Yeah, it's like that, except it's...
That was
it's
my what, next question.
Yeah, so
Does it work?
I use that, and Doc, I have to tell you, because I had a game Saturday night, and I was feeling lousy, and so we went and bought a couple of those cans, and I used it Saturday, and for the game Saturday night, I was fine. I was able to breathe. It was really helped.
Yeah, Dave, a lot of people swear by those. A lot of people swear by the neti pots. And again, that's just mechanically kind of getting some of that stuff out of there. If the virus is removed from your body, then it doesn't have the opportunity to replicate and to cause more symptoms. The one thing I would say is that people love is Afrin, and I would stay away from it as much as you possibly can.
The nose spray.
Yes. People get so congested, but they use it, and they get addicted to it, to be honest with you. So stay away from the Afrin.
I had that happen to me once where I used it because I
You were addicted to it?
Well, not addicted, but then doesn't it have an adverse reaction, Doc, where all of a sudden you're like dependent on it to open your sinus passages?
You're absolutely right, Dave. If you use it for more than 3 days, you're going to get something called rebound. So then when you try to stop it, the inflammation is so bad, it's terrible, especially for you, Dave, rebound. So,
he's shaking his head, Doc. That's why I'm laughing.
it's even a sports term.
I don't have my medical degree, but, you know, every once in a while.
Right. Speaking of sports, can you sweat out a cold?
Well, you can't really sweat out a cold. A lot of people will say go in and take a steam, take a sauna, or get a good exercise in. Again, that increases the vasculature to your head and to your nose, which allows more immune response there. And it allows you to actually, again, mechanically drain some of that stuff. But the activity of doing it is not going to sweat it out. You can't raise your temperature high enough to kill the virus, although that's what our body actually tries to do when we have these high temperatures.
Oh, the steam doesn't really work, but if you want to do it, go ahead.
Yeah, it makes people feel a lot better.
It's like a Mucinex.
This is what I love about Doc most. He doesn't just say, listen, the steam's not going to work, you're wasting your time. Hey, if it works for you, go ahead and do it if it makes you feel good.
Well, but Pete, one thing I need to tell people about steams is when you go in there, what do? You sweat. What's one of our biggest concerns? Dehydration. So if you go in there and do it, make sure you come out and take a bunch of fluids as well.
Mary mentioned zinc. You said you should be taking zinc right now. How much zinc should we be taking?
You know, zinc and airborne are probably two that I say, you know what, it's not going to hurt you, but is it going to help? You know, I'm not sure it's going to do a whole heck of a lot.
Okay.
It's been proven that it works fairly well. You know, there's a lot of people that'll stand behind it. I don't take it. I'm not one, and I fly a lot, but I'm not a big one to take it a lot. But a lot of people swear by it.
Vitamin D as in dog, vitamin dog.
Yeah. 100%. Everyone should be taking vitamin D at this time. One, it helps your immune system. Two, you think about you guys. You go to work when it's dark. At least when you leave, it's light out. But a lot of people right now are going to work when it's dark, coming home when it's dark.
Yep.
They aren't getting that sunlight exposure that we need to produce vitamin D in our body. So at this time of the year, you absolutely should take at least 2,000. Maybe some people will take 4,000 international units of vitamin D every day, just to make sure that we have enough of that, especially senior women, because we really need that vitamin D to keep our bones strong. So we don't want to decrease our bone density during the winter by not taking vitamin D.
I take that every day, even though I'm not a senior
Mayor.
Woman.
Mary, 5,000, how much do you take? How many I use?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I got to look at the bottle. It's a little
5,000 every single day, Doc.
Yep, Pete, that's absolutely spot on. You know, if you look, a lot of the doses are probably at 2,000, but really 5,000 is a fine number. Yep.
Go five, Dave. Dave, you need to,
I take it.
Okay, you're taking 5,000?
I don't know if I'm taking
You need 5,000. To up it. Doc, real quick, Vivi's going to be traveling today. She's flying out to California to see her soon-to-be fiancé, George. A lot of people traveling today. Airport germs.
Ugh. Couple things with airport germs. One, influenza, obviously. Two, probably the biggest thing is airports and airplanes are the worst. And Viv, I feel sorry for you because you're talking about a 4-hour flight. if you think about it, and a 4-hour flight at a holiday time, people won't cancel their vacation because of this. But it's the only time in your life that you'll sit next to somebody who's coughing and hacking. Any other time, you're going to get up and move. Well, you can't. You're captive. The other thing that's really interesting, a study was done that showed that people would think, oh, you know what? I'm going to sit in the aisle seat. that's probably the safest seat. Matter of fact, it's one of the worst seats.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the traffic that goes by you, and now you're exposed to more people than just the person next to you.
Good thing I got a window seat.
They're coughing and sneezing. That's good.
Yeah. Viv, wash your hands, clean your area as soon as you get
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. Every time I get on a flight, yep. I have one of those web wipes.
Yep.
And I clean the seat, the little stand in front of you, the little table.
Got to do everything.
Yep.
The person
the
sitting next to you.
Do not pick your nose or put your finger in your
it's
ear,
funny
right,
because
Doc?
I actually offer the wet wipes to the people that sit next to me, so then they can be clean too.
Right.
And that's brilliant, Viv, because you're not saying you're sick, even though they might be, but you're saying, hey, let's clean this whole area up.
Yeah.
Let's make sure we stay healthy. And then they look at you like you're someone that's nice as well, even
exactly.
though you're defensively making a move.
I always offer gum and wet wipes.
If you don't have wet wipes, can you order vodka and drink the vodka and wipe a little on your tray? Yeah. Does that work, Doc?
You might as well, because then you're going to be sick, but at least you got a good drink in you before.
There you go. Doc, happy holidays, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Sounds good, Pete. Take care.
You're the best.
Take care, Doc.
That is Dr. Kevin Most. Forgot to ask Doc Most, if you have a cold, is it okay to drink booze? I'll save that for next week. Put it on my list.
I think that works with the dehydration thing.
Drinking booze.
I don't think that helps with dehydration, but it might make you feel better.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
talking about.
Especially some nice whiskey.
Wow, listen to Mayor.
Wow, giddy up. Should have brought in the booze today.
It's the holidays.
Do we have a liquor license here on WGN Radio? Anything?
Hey, Roy is at
the Carnarvon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Every week.
Stacked with
Does anybody
liquor.
Have a key to his office? Because the bar sits right by the window in his office, so you can see it.
Just sort of to tease everybody.
Yeah.
He just puts it right by the glass.
So we can't get in? No one has a master key?
We'll find one.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, it is Friday today, isn't it, guys?
What?
Is it?
Wait a second.
It's Monday.
Okay. Coming up after 7:30, we have Blackhawk tickets to give away. We're going to talk holiday traditions. So everybody think about that for a second. What is yours? Do you have a family tradition that you do every single year or something that you grew up with? Holiday traditions for Blackhawk tickets after 7:30. But first, it's time to talk to Dan Hampton. Hamp is always sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Let's bring in number 99, Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton. And I just want to paint a picture for people because I see you every Sunday. I see you in OB every Sunday. I saw you yesterday. And I've seen you two watch the games together. And I've known you for many years. But OB, I've just got to know the last year. And OB scares me because he gets raging mad during this game. And I can't imagine what it was like yesterday, Hamp.
Well, good morning, and you're accurate with your description about the great one, Ed Obradovich, getting upset about the way these performances by our beloved Bears. You know, let me just say this: I was just sitting here making a few notes, and I was thinking to myself. I said, you know, this is I've only been sleeping about 4 hours, you know, after we get off at midnight, we get home, have to unwind, blah, 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 and then get up. And I'm thinking, was this a bad dream? Did this really happen? And then at some point, you want to call it, you got to call it a game, but we never really even entered into the competition. It was a very sad day for a lot of Bear fans. And, you know, the looming presence of Patrick Mahomes, you know, everybody's already heard all about that. You know, what coulda, shoulda, would have been if Ryan Pace would have, been able to do his job and figure out who was going to be projected as the best quarterback. Okay, all that being said, the rest of the team, it was very heartbreaking in the sense that here we are. You know, this is, again, a moment in time. This is the 100th. Season of the Chicago Bears. And if you was to kind of like be sitting around a drawing room saying, okay, you know, in the 98th season, yeah, we want to play good, but man, that 100, that's when we want to put it all together. That's when we want to make this, you know, that's when we want to blow everybody's socks off. Boy, it was pretty pathetic when you think about it. We opened the season on national television and we scored one field goal. And then we closed the season out at Soldier Field and we scored one field goal. And all the while, we all, you know, with our, you know, we've got our legs crossed, our fingers crossed, keep hoping that Trubisky's get better and that the coach and the play calling gets better, and it doesn't. And now, here we are facing the final game, and if I was Ed Obradovich, I'd be screaming too.
I listened to you on the way home last night. I was on Fox last night, and OB was screaming so much on the radio that he lost his voice. But you talked about something because of the Bears. They had so many penalties, especially in the first half. You talked about discipline. Can you expand on that?
No, absolutely. You know, folks, there's a lot of ways that that a team can self-destruct. You know, the offensive line have a bad day, the quarterback gets the defensive backs are over-aggressive and selfish, and they start jumping routes and they get beat. But one of the sure ways of undermining whatever integrity you have as a football team is for an offense to have a positive play. Everybody's got to block. Everybody's got to do their job. And if one guy's getting a penalty, then, okay, everything's for naught. And then you have to, you know, back up and try it again, and then now it gets harder, it gets tougher. And why do we, in an undisciplined fashion, continue to make these idiotic penalties?
It was terrible.
Aaron Lynch jumps off sides on the 3rd and 4. I mean, it was almost on cue. You know, Mahomes gives him the hard count, he jumps, and okay, first down. They go down and finish that drive with a touchdown. Earlier, Carson Harris, he in number 95, he shoves Mahomes down from behind after he's thrown the ball.
Yep.
Okay, it really wasn't that violent, that bad of a deal. But wait a minute, you can't hit the quarterback after he throws the ball. We've been talking about this for 20 years. Okay, that's the new rules. Don't do it. Anyway, he does it. We get a unnecessary ruckus penalty. It enhances the drive, and here they go. We love Nick Kwiatkowski. He played his butt off last night, but he had a penalty hands to the face.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that. Boom, 57 running into the punter was the cardinal sin last night. We had him stopped, and yet, you know, he just blunders into the punter, much like he did in London against the Raiders, which enabled them to continue a 96-yard touchdown drive. Well, last night, same thing. They continued, and again, it somehow, some way, a team has to have a certain fear factor. Well, you know, if you make these mistakes, there's going to be accountability.
Mm-hmm.
When you see people making them left, right, and without any regard, almost. That means nobody's scared, nobody's watching the P's and Q's, and everybody's just playing a sloppy game. That's what Nagy said when he came off the field. He said we were too sloppy.
It was
terrible. Across the board, well, they were too sloppy, top to bottom.
Hamp, I'm going to have you hold on for a second. I know Dave Ennett's chomping at the bit. He wants to talk to you, but first we got to take care of some business. We're talking with Dan Hampton. Coming up, I'm going to ask you about the Mitch Trubisky extension. Don't respond now. Number 99 is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com. More talking with Dan Hampton, Dave Ennett. All right, you can jump in. What do you got for Hamp?
All right, so you've got one game left. Hamp, I mean, I have to tell you, all we heard all week was let's finish strong here. Let's build some momentum. And they're going to be on. I mean, forget every game's on TV. That's not a big deal. But you want to give a good showing at the end. Try to build a little positive vibes. And obviously, none of that happens. Now you've got a game left against a division rival that conceivably could have a shot at the division title if they win tonight against Green Bay. They'd still need some help, obviously, from Detroit, but. But do you put any stock in any of that, or is it lip service?
You know, it's starting to really sound pretty hollow. And you know what? We were on break. I was looking out the window, and I saw a truck go by with a porta potty. And I was wondering if Nagy was in the office already this morning. And if he was, was he watching that film? And I'll tell you this. And again, you know, we talked about this last night. That team, there was no sense of urgency. Even in the opener, I go back to when we opened the season against the Packers. I mean, that was a game that everybody should have you know, played for free. Because, my God, you only get a chance to be on the national stage on the 100th year. And we go out and we stumble around from last night's opening comic sequence where Nagy was calling these read options. And of course, Trubisky is unprepared to run it properly because, you know, they don't play in the preseason. They don't practice it. And anyway, he stumbles around, runs five of the first six plays in an NFL contest, and then they try to go with this reverse to Anthony Miller, then he fumbles the ball, and then we have to punt. From that point on, you know, this team never engaged. Think about it. The Kansas City Chiefs put together a 15-play drive. They went down. They scored.
Yep.
It was 7-0. We never threatened again the entire night. And you can say what you want, but, you know, unfortunately, you know, OB and I are like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. You know, we tell you what you don't want to hear, but we tell you the truth.
Right.
And we've told you for a long time there's issues with this quarterback. He's got big issues and problems playing, you know, competent NFL-quality football. And in a game that you would think this would be the moment in time where, okay, he's had struggles, but on the stage against who he will be compared with from now until the end of time,
yep,
he would want to play great, and this is what we saw. He didn't get over 100 yards of passing until somewhere late in the fourth quarter. It was like 8 minutes left, something like it, which is, again, your team is down. Your offense has to almost go into survival mode and find a way to get big chunks and get scores, and it was really sad. And I don't know, you know, last year we all, you know, talked about, oh, this is a stepping stone. Well, guess what? It's like a concrete block around our neck now, because this team has never, ever actually engaged. And your point about Minnesota, you know, for whatever reason, this team has always seemed to have Minnesota's number the last, I don't know, 5 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out. If, you know, if they go up and play like they did last night, it'll be another embarrassment. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I like everyone else, you know, we only wish the best. And of course, there's nothing more disappointing than, you know, on Christmas Eve to get kicked in the stomach by the Kansas City Chiefs. And again, we never even engaged.
Right, and we didn't even fight. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth during the game last night, towards the end of the game, talking about Mitch Trubisky, final year of his contract, you give him an extension. I think we know your answer, but I'd like to hear it from you.
How can you? Really, you know, life is about meeting expectations and being rewarded. To the victor goes the spoils. You know, this kid... And again, folks, yeah, I know it sounds like, oh, we're just jumping on and jumping. No, it's called professional football. If you want to be, you know, successful, you've got to have a certain level of excellence at that position. And we've said it, you know, for 3 years now that there's characteristics that you have to have. And unfortunately, the kid has not met those. Think about this. And you probably remember this from last night. He has 9 performances this year of a below 80% quarterback rating. Now, 80% quarterback rating is way below the average of a starting quarterback. So think about it. You know, I mean, it's just unacceptable. You cannot win when the most critical and not only focal point of the team has struggled so mightily for so long.
I don't know what to say. It's pathetic, and I'm a season ticket holder. I think I'm the only one that gives the Bears money in this group. So I'm giving them money to see this performance. Hamp, before you go, what'd we get little Dan for Christmas?
Well, he's 16 now, and so everything eventuates into some kind of a car part. Or replacement part, or floor mats, or mm-hmm. WeatherTech this, WeatherTech that. But don't tell him, because at the end of the day, I'm going to tell him that the parts I got in are great and going to be, you know, super. When actually I bought them, you know, off the black market, and they're going to be sort of like a Trubisky. It's never going to really be that great.
We didn't hear that. I didn't hear him say that.
I love it. Well, Merry Christmas, Hamp, and we'll talk to you on Friday, okay?
You know, first of all, our last, we do greatly appreciate everyone tuning in and listening to the show. You know, we only wish and hope for the best, but obviously these hard times, they try all of our souls. But we all can say Merry Christmas and look for the best in the coming new year. So Merry Christmas to all.
You too.
You too, Hamp.
All right. See you, buddy. You know. That is Dan Hampton.
And by the way, the final edition of Hamp and OB with Kaz for the season will be Sunday night, 7:30 to 9:30 after the Blackhawks. They'll put a bow on the whole thing on Sunday.
You know, I either precede them or follow them on Sundays. So I see them every single week. I am deathly afraid of OB. I think he could beat me to a pulp.
He could.
And I am
and he would.
I am scared of him.
Yeah, by the way, there's still some lasagna or something sitting out in the kitchen.
Those guys
from
eat
last
like
night.
Kings, let me tell you.
You know, the one thing about the game last night,
yeah.
The aerial shots on NBC, the city looked fantastic.
Yes, they
did. And it was a beautiful night.
It was a great
beautiful
night.
It was night. Other than that,
and it was
Devin
Hester night.
It was Devin Hester. Other than that, it was bad. We have Blackhawk tickets to give away. The Hawks taking on the Red Wings on Sunday, January 5th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. You can find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. 312-981-7200. We're going to take some phone calls about holiday traditions. What's your holiday tradition or family tradition? We'll do a whip around first for the show, and then we'll talk to some callers about holiday traditions. And I'll share mine, how my dad used to get the entire neighborhood drunk. But first, time for news. What would you expect
from
a McMurray?
Warm and fuzzy.
Right.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
My wife hates when I sing this. You know, we have our Spotify Christmas playlist. I love Andy Williams. One of my biggest thrills when I first started at GN, we had Andy Williams on the show.
Really?
Couldn't really sing. Tried to get him to sing on the phone, sing along, and then he passed away.
Did you have him sing this or Moon River?
Does he sing Moon River?
Yeah, doesn't he?
No, the most wonderful time of the year.
Well,
it's the greatest Christmas song out there.
Right, but that's, I think he also sang River.
Did he?
That was like his,
Andy Williams, Moon River. I think he was in Branson at the time. Everybody goes to Branson when you hit a certain age. Jimmy Osmond, Andy Williams. Right.
Yes. Confirming Moon River was Andy Williams' biggest hit.
There you go, folks. That's what we do here at WGN. Andy Williams, your home for Andy Williams. We have a pair of tickets to give away to the Hawks taking on the Red Wings on Sunday, January 5th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. Holiday traditions. Let's do a quick whip around, and then we'll talk to people on the phone. Holiday traditions. Dave?
We will go to my sister-in-law's tomorrow night and sit around the fire.
You don't turn on the TV and watch the Yule log on television?
Nope.
You actually have a fire.
Elf.
Okay.
Elf. We will watch Elf. That is an annual family tradition.
I love that.
And the kids all know like every... I mean, I know most of it.
Right.
But the kids know every line.
Great movie.
Yes.
Love it. Jen, how about you? Family tradition?
Well, I think a lot of people deal with this throughout their lives. We've had a lot of changes in our family over the past few years. My grandparents both passed, but we added a little niece, a baby. So things are constantly shifting and not necessarily the same. But I'm really excited this year. My cousin is hosting her first Christmas. So it's nice to kind of see that torch passed down from my grandparents to my aunt and uncle and now to my cousin. I'm really excited to start that tradition.
Okay. So you really don't have anything. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that families always change.
I am looking forward.
And you have to make new ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Families always change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, are you talking traditions from your old family?
I'm talking about anything. What do you have? Family tradition.
Well, like in my family, when I was growing up, we always used to open a gift on Christmas Eve. That was our tradition. We don't do that now because my husband put a kibosh on that. So one of the traditions I started, I don't know why, he just said, I never
My wife tried to do that and I said, no, we're going to open one gift on Christmas Eve.
So you still do it?
Yes.
See, well, my husband stopped it. Yes, we don't do that. But so I started my own and I said, okay, I'm going to put clues on gifts now. And so every gift for my children, my husband, whoever I'm giving it, I put a clue on. And they have to try to guess it before they open it. And
I
then
like
we have
that.
Now we have a contest now. It's turned so crazy that we see who wins, who guesses the most.
Well, that's fun.
It is kind of fun.
Our family tradition, the McMurrays, and growing up, my father had eight boys, so he'd love to hold court. So he would make homemade eggnog every year about noon on Christmas Eve. And one year, I don't know who decided, but they put bourbon in it. So my father would make homemade eggnog at noon, and everyone from the neighborhood, all our friends, would come over, and we would get loaded on Christmas Eve.
Wait a minute, you were how old?
Well, I mean, you know, college. I was at drinking age. How's that, Dave?
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go to Midnight Mass then?
We would go to, we used to go to Midnight Mass, and then my mother moved it to 5 o'clock Mass. So we would drink from noon until like 4:45, and then we'd have one of the teenagers drive us to church.
What a sweet holiday memory.
Right, yes. So I have wonderful memories of our neighborhood getting hammered before 5 o'clock Mass.
Wasn't it always fun if you went to Midnight Mass to see how many people were hammered?
And oh, yeah.
Just because they were all at their Christmas Eve.
Whoever came up with Midnight Mass, just the dumbest thing on the planet.
Terrible.
I remember as a kid, I was so tired.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Then Midnight Mass, then you'd wake up, and then you'd have to try to fall asleep. It was so dumb.
And the incense is burning, and you're like, whoa.
Oh, jeez.
Intoxicated from that as well.
Holiday traditions. We'll take some calls coming up next and give away those Blackhawk tickets. All right, we have Blackhawk tickets to give away. Talking about holiday traditions, let's go to Catherine in Naperville. Catherine, what's yours?
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good. What is your holiday tradition?
Our holiday tradition is that we and they're usually tickets to something. And this year, our family from Hawaii was here, and they had two requests.
Catherine, hold on a second. It sounds like you're across the room. Can you fix her phone? Let's go to Joe in Marengo. Joe, holiday tradition.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good, man.
Good. Hey, mine was actually from when I was a little kid. I was just telling this to somebody the other night. My dad had one of the old 8mm movie cameras.
Okay.
So our bedrooms were at the end of the hallway, and we'd always have to put on our footy pajamas when we were little kids. And Dad would say, okay, come on out now. So we'd come out, and then see the big room with the Christmas tree and all the gifts and everything. Well, it didn't work good enough the first year, so the next year for the tradition, my dad got one of these light bars for the camera.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So it's like he had four of these headlights. So that year, Dad says, okay, come on out. We come out, and we couldn't see a thing because all we saw was white bats from the light bar and that. So we're stumbling into the hallway, into the living room. I had footy pajamas that were too big, and I tripped over my brother, and I wiped out the entire nativity scene.
Nice. That's a nice holiday tradition.
I hope he got it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do you still have it on film, 8mm?
You know what? My dad did put it on film. He put it on DVD, and just, you know, seeing all the little dots and everything, you can still remember the tradition.
That was a big deal with those old handheld cameras. My Uncle Jerry used to have one and bring it everywhere, and we never saw the footage. Because
right.
he never converted it or watched it.
Yeah, he saved it. But just that light bar thing is still a memory that my brother and sister and I always talk about because we couldn't see a thing.
Everybody's like rubbing their eyes. We have a bunch of those, too. And everybody just rubbing, and they're so bright. And, oh, my God.
Like you're being pulled over by the police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Deer in a headlight.
Austin, you're on WGN. What's your holiday tradition?
Hey, every Christmas Eve, we go to our church's Christmas Eve service as a family, and then we go out to a local Asian place.
Local Asian place. What time do you go to church?
Yeah. It's either at 4 or 6. It just depends which one you choose.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Austin. You know, they keep moving Mass earlier. I think we're going to a 3 p.m. Mass on Christmas Eve. I thought it didn't count until it was 4 o'clock.
Yeah, ours are all, the ones around our house are at 4 o'clock. Christmas Eve.
We're in the city.
One.
The great thing about 3 o'clock Mass, they also have a 4 o'clock. So you're out of there in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
You get people in and out.
Always check the Mass after to see what time that one starts.
Go to happy hour, hit that. But the midnight Mass, I'm having flashbacks from when I was a kid.
I'm terrible. I'm a lector, and I almost had to read at midnight Mass. Oh. I had to get out of that one. I'm like, I can't do it. I'll be asleep.
I was an altar server every year. My mother made us do that.
Oh, no.
Get up there, honey. Come on. You got to help the priest.
Did you pass out holding the candle?
Oh, it's terrible.
Little Pete McMurray.
Mark, you're in Downers Grove. What's your holiday tradition?
Hey, dig this, guys. I really, really enjoy your show, by the way, number one, Pete.
Thank you.
Hey, here it is. Can I sing just for a second? We'll be home for Christmas. After 15 years investigating financial crime out in various assignments, we're back home in the Chicagoland area, our roots. And this is our tradition to be with family. You know, my wife said, it's my turn to pick the next place we're going to be living. And so it is so great to be back. And for all the naysayers about the Chicagoland area, I say, humbug. We're cool out here. This is a very nice place to be. And it's great to be back home with family. And we're just enjoying everything around here.
Where did you move from? You live in Downers Grove now.
Yeah, dig this, guys. From Chicago to Southern California to Dallas, Texas area, back up to Chicago. So we got a pretty good view of the country.
Okay.
And it is clearly back.
All right. Wow, it sounded like a television promo for a second when he started singing. I didn't know what to do, but I like that. Welcome back, Mark. All right, we have Catherine back. Catherine, what's your holiday tradition?
Our holiday tradition is that Thanksgiving, we always give one gift, and it's usually tickets to something for the holidays. And this year, my family from Hawaii was here visiting, and so they had two requests, to go to the Blackhawks game and to go to see A Christmas Carol. So every year when they come, it's always something different, and this is what we did this year. So it was really a lot of fun.
I love that. Thank you, Catherine. Hold on the line. Quick break. We'll give away these Blackhawk tickets again. This is all courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. All right, Blackhawk tickets to give away. Congratulations. Just a random winner. We're giving it to Joe. Joe in Marengo. Joe, you had the 8mm camera, right?
I certainly did. That's awesome.
Congratulations. You're going to see the Hawks. What are you doing for Christmas?
You know, I've gotten family together with the grandkids and just laying low, but just sharing some special time, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, does Grandpa run the videos? Are you doing the videos of the grandkids?
No, I stay away from that. Actually, the kids do it more than I do, it seems like, you know?
Because it's so easy now. Think about back in the day when you had the 8mm and then you had to take it in and you had to wait weeks before you got it back, or the slides, or your photos.
Right.
Joe, thank you so much. Hold on, and Merry Christmas. I mean, you know, if you're taking Christmas pictures, you drop them off the day after Christmas, you get them back a week later. That was the old days. That's how it worked. Dave, you're shaking your head like you know what you're doing.
I remember very well.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Katie Caden. If you're a fan of The Voice, she is from Summit, Illinois, and she made the Final Four. And Katie on the show had such a wonderful presence, but her blind audition was off the charts fantastic. Four chairs turned around at the same time. Love it. So we'll talk to Katie and Dean Richards along the way. And I have to do a little shopping today. Put together my shopping list.
For everybody on the show?
Well, I mean, I'm not in tomorrow, but if you guys really want a gift, what day are you off this week? Let's exchange on Friday. How's that?
Nice. We're not here.
I'm not here.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry about
that. I thought
that.
You were supposed to shop over the weekend, Pete.
I put it off again.
Yeah.
I was going to do it yesterday after I got off the air, and I didn't want to. Yeah. I need to get stocking stuffers. I need to go to Costco today and get a pumpkin pie to take out to my sister.
Good
Mary's.
Luck with that. Good luck at Costco. I was in there Friday.
No. This is exactly what you do. You never hit the middle. You hit the side aisles. Never go down the middle at Costco, ever.
Where are the pies? I don't go to Costco, so.
The pies are in the very back bakery. Next to the meat.
Yeah.
So if you hit the left aisle, I'm talking about the one in In Lincoln Park.
Yeah, because some Costco's Clybourne. Are different. You go you make a right instead of a left.
It doesn't matter. You hit the side aisles and you never go down the middle. You go down the middle, you start looking at clothes and you start milling around and you need everything in that place. You got to focus. Keep your head down, grab your water, your toilet paper, your paper products, and get out.
There was a 45-minute delay in that center aisle at Costco when I was there the other night.
It's the worst.
I was looking for Mary to give reports on the traffic.
the cars.
That would be good Costco traffic.
The carts are the size of a Mini Cooper.
Right.
They're huge.
They are huge.
But I do get my paper products, and I will never wait in line to get gas during normal hours. Can you get gas outside the business hours at Costco?
I don't think so. I don't know.
There was maybe 400 cars in line the other day. Who has time for that?
It goes by quickly.
No, it doesn't.
It's so worth it in the
city.
No
way.
So worth it.
How much am I saving?
I don't know, like 70 cents, aren't you?
70. I'd rather pay that and
you
not have to wait.
Use that much gas right? waiting to get there. In.
That is so true. So, yes. So I'll be at Costco today. So wish me luck. All right. That's our cue right there. It's Pete McMurray in the Skyline Studios. Let's talk to Dean Richards from WGN-TV.
That was a smooth transition, Pete.
Well, you know. I'm writing, and they usually...
Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we call dramatic pause. You might not even be paying attention right now had it not been for that dramatic pause, because then, you know, you're driving, you're doing whatever you're doing, and then you go,
"Yeah,
what the hell's going on there?"
There you go. Now we got people's attention, don't we?
Must be super important, whatever's happening there.
Let me just say that I tune into you on Sundays to hear a calming voice, maybe Dean sharing a recipe, talking to a chef, talking about food.
Right.
I tune in yesterday, I hear... Inagata De Vita. I'm like, what?
Yeah, man.
What is this? Did they bring back the loop? What's going on here?
Bum, bum, bum.
How did you get on that?
I was talking with one Mr. Pat Tomasulo.
Yes.
Of the WGN-TV Morning News.
Uh-huh.
He's doing a New Year's Eve show at the Beverly Arts Center. And I was explaining to him that where the Beverly Arts Center is right now is literally one block away from where I grew up at 109th and Artesian.
Okay.
And that back in the day, there was a Standard gas station on the corner.
The Standard.
Standard.
Yep.
And then right next to that was this hot dog place called Red's.
Okay.
Where I used to hang out in my very first car, which was a 1968 Pontiac Tempest. Fantastic car. It was like a Le Mans, kind of like a Le Mans or Chevelle. It was the Pontiac version of that. And I would sit in the car and smoke cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. Long hair?
Yeah, kind of. Long sideburns. Super, like, lamb chop sideburns, for sure. I had more like a John Denver look back in the day, for some reason.
From John Denver from Oh God, the movies?
Okay. Yeah, even be like, Thank God I'm a Country Boy kind of
John
Denver. Okay,
I like that look. That's a good look.
You know, kind of like that. I would sit in the car and smoke Territon cigarettes.
Sounds yummy.
And I'd drink a Coke. And sometimes have a burger or a hot dog, and I would crank on my 8-track player that I had in my car.
Right.
The long version of Inagata De Vita.
Oh, yeah, 17 minutes, right?
17 minutes with the drum solo.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're talking about that, and I just got in the mood to play a little Inagata De Vita. A lot of people going to church, they love hearing Inagata De Vita.
Scared me. I mean, I was taken aback a little bit.
On a Sunday morning, you come out of church.
Woo!
You talk to the minister, you're feeling good, you're feeling refreshed, you turn the radio on, and Inagata De Vita,
that is exactly what happened to me.
Nice.
I swear to you, that's exactly what happened. I got out of St. Ben's Church on Irving Park at Western, and I turn you on, I hear it.
Bum, bum, bum.
Right.
I guarantee you played a little bit of that right now, which I strongly encourage you to.
You know what? I'm sorry, but we don't have it in the studio. The great thing about the 8-tracks, if people remember, in the middle of the song, your favorite song, it would click and move to the next track.
Move to a different channel.
Right.
Same song, different channel, but the song would be interrupted. But you didn't care. Because you got the whole 17-minute song. You could listen to the whole 17-minute song in your car.
I wish you could see Enid's face right now.
It's the greatest. It's
like, yeah.
No,
you guys are nuts.
I remember. No, listen. Yeah. It's my wheelhouse.
It is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I loved listening to that in my car while smoking cigarettes. And I loved listening to I don't know how anybody even got in my car, because all I did then was smoke cigarettes.
How long did you smoke? When did you quit?
I quit like 30, 35 years ago, something like that.
Okay.
On one of those Great American Smokeouts. You know, people say it doesn't work. You know, you're just supposed to try to stop for one day.
And mm-hmm. Is that November 20,
some,
was,
yeah,
21st
something like that.
Or something?
Yeah, it's in November, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I'll try it. I'll try to stop for one day. And I stopped for one day, and then I made it 2 days, and now it's been 30-something years.
That's impressive.
And still crave cigarettes to this day.
Yeah.
It's a terrible drug. Horrible drug, kids.
Right.
Don't be like your Uncle Dean. Don't smoke. But all I would do is ever smoke in my car. So anyone who got in my car, their clothes must have reeked of cigarettes. Mine certainly must have. But I would listen. I would sit there like the cool guy banging on the dashboard mm-hmm. to whatever tunes were playing. I love the Anagata DeVita, and I love the Elton John Funeral for a Friend, because that was also a super long song.
Right. What would you with the 10, 12, 15, 17-minute songs?
Oh. Loved it.
Funeral for a Friend was 11 minutes.
Yeah. That's the best. How about right? American Pie? Didn't
American
you
Pie was
American
a good
Pie,
one.
Eight
yeah.
and a half.
Yeah.
Remember,
sides.
I worked rock radio, so I know the length of this music.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Layla was
seven
Layla
and a half.
Good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's an odd talent that we who were music DJs at one time have, that we know the length of uh-huh. songs. Do you also know, like, the intro of
oh,
songs?
Oh, the opening riff to any classic yeah. rock song, yeah. challenge me and I will win.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know exactly, like, you can do the weather.
Right.
Sometimes, this is way too much information, sometimes in the car when a song comes on, I practice just to see if I still have my chops.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a weather forecast leading up to the vocal of a song to see if I can
nice.
Still do it.
Hitting the post.
99.9% of the time, Uncle Dean still has his chops.
Uncle Dean, look at that. Well, coming up with Uncle Dean, we're going to talk about Eddie Murphy on SNL, which I absolutely love. I can't wait
Me
to
too.
Get... I think here's some of these sound bites. Weekend box office with Star Wars, Cats, and much, much more. That's coming up. And Dean, we have a special guest to talk to in just a second.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who might that be?
I'm gonna spring that on you in just
oh,
a second. But
surprise.
First, I want to talk about Eddie Murphy on SNL. What'd you think?
I thought he was very funny. It was very nostalgic. I think there were some epic moments during his monologue in the beginning. When he was there with Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock and Tracy Morgan. You know, that's like the Mount Rushmore of
yeah.
comedy standing right there. And as they said, this is half of Netflix's entire budget standing right here. I thought was really funny.
What is it with Dave Chappelle? We're always so happy to see him when he shows up.
He's a great comedian. He's, you know, an innovator.
Right, right.
I think that's what it is. And, you know, plus he's... doesn't make himself available very often. So when he does show up for something, it's kind of a big deal.
We have a little bit of the monologue with Chris Rock. Go ahead.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor.
Or Mr. Robinson's
Could you
neighborhood.
Be mine? Would you be mine? I was gone for a bit, but it's now I'm all right. My neighbors was all black, but now they white. The check cashing place turned into a bank. Elevator works and the stairs, they don't stink. The white people came and changed everything, but I am still your neighbor.
All right, Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. Okay. But the monologue, I put it on my Facebook page if people want to watch it. They can check it out.
Okay.
Dean, box office,
There's
Star Wars.
One more, a little more on Eddie Murphy real quick.
Yep.
Yesterday, Bill Cosby's spokesperson came out and called him a slave to Hollywood.
Oh, please.
Because during the monologue, he did a Cosby joke saying, you know, who would have ever thought that I would be the boring father at home.
Right.
And that Cosby would be in jail. And then he did a little bit of impersonation of Cosby. So spokesperson called Eddie Murphy a slave to Hollywood.
Oh, please.
And said that that Eddie Murphy and Bill Cosby should meet and talk about making the world a better place instead of tearing each other down.
Bill Cosby and his spokesman just need to go away. Just go away forever.
Oh. If some of the accusers have their way, that may be the case.
Right, yes. Weekend box office, Star Wars.
Yeah, not a surprise. Taking in a ridiculous amount of money, $175 million for Star Wars over the weekend. That drops Jumanji, the next level, down to the next level, to number two. And then after that, it was Frozen 2. After that, it was Cats, the musical Cats, bombing with only $6 million in its debut. Hugely disappointing.
Did you see Cats?
I did. I'm going to tell you about it in a second. I want to wind up a little bit for that, but yes, I did see it. Not the murder mystery Knives Out came in at number five. So, Cats.
Yes.
The musical.
Yeah.
Wow.
Give me the premise again. It's cats dancing. Is that right?
Well, yes.
Okay.
It's a little more than that. The way that I interpret it, and I've seen mostly stage versions of Cats through the years, each time thinking, this is the time that I'm really going to get it. This is the time I'm going to understand what's going on.
You never got it.
But no, it's about a bunch of cats who are dancing. And one of the cats, there is a day of the Jellicle Cat, in which one cat is chosen to be reborn. You know, gets its ninth life.
Okay.
And is a reborn. So the way that I interpret it,
this sounds terrible.
It's a story about rebirth.
It sounds terrible. Can I introduce our guest?
But with a lot of jazz dancing.
Are you ready to talk to our next guest?
Sure.
I love this next woman. She grew up in Summit, made it to the final four on The Voice. Do we have that sound?
Where are you from?
My name is Katie Caden. I'm a professional musician in Chicago. I've only been doing it for about 8 years.
Oh my God.
I was afraid to perform. I was a chubby chick living in a skinny girl's world. So I didn't feel too good about it. But now I'm okay.
Dean, what do you think about this woman? She's got presence, doesn't she?
I'm told that she's very good. I have to be honest, I don't really watch the show.
I watch the show. Katie Caden, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
I got to tell you, the blind auditions, if people know the premise of The Voice, where someone sings and the chairs suddenly turn around, when you had your blind audition, all four chairs turned around, how did you keep it together and finish the song?
Oh, you know what? I was waiting for all chairs to turn around. That was my goal.
Right.
I kept it together because I kind of had to put myself in a different zone. I had to put myself in a zone that, you know, I'm just going to go out on the stage like it's any other stage I've been on, and make it comfortable and make it my own. And that's what happened. I don't think it even set in until after I walked off the stage like, did that just happen? So that was the process, and that's what was going on in my head.
Well, say hello to Dean Richards from WGN-TV. He's talked to a lot of celebrities over the years. This is a big deal for him.
Hi, Dean.
Hello. She actually was on our show last week and talked with Robin and Larry.
Oh, nice. Katie, tell me about the glasses. Where did the different types of crazy glasses come from? That's your thing.
It's my thing. When I was in high school, I loved fashion, but to be honest with you, they didn't really have a ton of stuff for a chubby chick, so I had to embellish, you know? You know, I shopped at the same stores as my mom, so that wasn't fun. But I took accessories, so I always loved glasses. And I think that, like, Lisa Loeb was really big when I was in high school, and she always had those glasses on. And I'm like, I should wear different glasses, but I don't need glasses, so maybe I could just pop out the lenses. So I started doing that and got made fun of as a kid and stopped wearing them. So when I hit, like, 32 or something, I wanted to bring back all the things that I was made fun of and take ownership of them.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty cool now.
Well, you have such a stage presence. When you were on The Voice, your confidence on stage, your confidence on stage, especially when you were singing with Adam Lambert, was off the charts fantastic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's such a sweet man. You know, I mean, I'm definitely not an introvert anymore, but when I was younger, I was. But the stage was the one place that I felt comfortable. where I felt like I can come to life, where I didn't have to hide so much anymore. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, singing with Adam Lambert, what a treat. He has such a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it was even easier when I met him because he is just super sweet, kind and encouraging. And I was nervous because my voice was tired in the morning. We had a rehearsal in the morning. And then he walked in. I'm like, yo, Adam Lambert, just FYI, I kind of have man voice right now. And he's like, great, so do I. We'll sound like growly men in the morning. I'm like, great.
That's nice.
And by the evening, we sounded better.
We're talking with Katie Kaden. She made the final four on The Voice. You're on national TV week after week. 8 to 10 million people, or 8 mm-hmm. to 10 million households are watching you week after week. How do we capitalize on this to make you a humongous star? Where do we go from here?
Keep on following me. Keep on watching to see what happens next. You know, right now, I'm just enjoying the holidays. I'm actually in New York with my family, but my plan is to go on tour in the next few months.
Okay.
So I'm getting together with my band and making this happen because that's something I've always wanted to do. You know, the running joke was Katie Kaden, the best kept secret in Chicago. Well, the secret's out, and and I think people are going to show up to my shows, which will be super exciting.
I love that. Dean, any parting words for Katie?
Well, since you didn't let me know that she was going to be on, I had no way of preparing anything. I don't mean to be rude to her in any way, but Pete wants to do this interview, so I'm going to let Pete do the interview.
Katie, you're the best. She's got to run, but thank you so much. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for having me on, guys.
All right. That is Katie Kaden, who Final Four in The Voice.
Anything else I couldn't possibly comment on?
Dean, I apologize. I thought people behind the scenes told you, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're not a voice watcher?
Nope.
Okay. That's all right.
I only watch Channel 9.
And what are you doing for Christmas?
Spending with my family.
Okay. With your mother, how is she doing?
She's doing okay.
All right.
Yeah. Are you going to watch The Burning Log on Channel 9?
Yeah, they shut down WGN TV at 1:30 in the morning and put a burning log there.
It's
no
the
movies.
Yule log. It's the famous Yule log.
I know, but it seems a little strange, doesn't it?
No.
They turn off the TV and put a log there. I'd like to see a movie if I'm up during the night.
I'm not sure what time the Yule log exactly is going to be on. I believe it is burning at different hours. But we've got lots of different things on besides the Yule log. We've got Bozo, Gar, and Ray.
Yes.
That, you know, is on every Christmas Eve. It's going to be on, this is the two-hour look back at the most popular TV shows in the history of
it's great.
Chicago television history. Christmas Eve starting at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Midnight Mass after that.
Yep.
Live from Holy Name Cathedral. So, you know, we've got that coming up. We've got, you know, lots of other things. But a lot of people like to put the Yule log on. They're playing Christmas carols when the Yule log is on. And they wrap their presents. And it's you know, if you don't have your own, if you don't have a fireplace in every room like Pete
right.
does in his house,
yeah.
you know, it's nice if you don't have a fireplace because it's kind of warm and crackly.
Do you go live from Holy Name? Is that a live yeah. hit for you or Annabelle Aval?
From Holy Name, we pretty much let the clergy handle Midnight Mass.
They got it. Okay.
Yeah, Midnight Mass. Annabelle Aval and I, along with Sarah Gindra, will host, we're doing a New Year's Eve countdown this year from down at the river where they're going to be doing the fireworks. So that's going to be new. On New Year's Eve, we're going to be doing something like that.
Nice. I like that a lot.
The crescendo is going to be when we run over and kiss Janet Davies and Mark Jean Greco.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
That's great.
We're going to crash their New Year's show and tongues will be wagging. Okay. That's all I can say.
Yes, that's nice. Dean, Merry Christmas.
All right, bud.
God bless,
soon.
Buddy.
Bye.
Take care. That is Dean Richards from WGN TV.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it
Does anybody
is
have a real tree on this show? Anybody? Real tree.
I do.
You have a real tree?
Absolutely.
160 home fires a year start with a Christmas tree.
Well, thanks, Pete.
You got to be careful. Well, I'm going
to
give you
Christmas
some safety
you.
Tips in a second. By the way, we bought a brand new Tree Time tree after Christmas last year. It's unbelievable. I don't understand why people, and I love the Tree Time people. They don't pay me anything, and we buy our stuff from there because it's quality, and you just put the tree up, and the lights are on the tree. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's a great tree. 160 home fires a year. I know it seems a little low, but it's a Christmas tree. It shouldn't catch on fire.
No. And we had a story earlier about, like, varmints, and Mary was talking about that.
There's some things in trees.
But yeah. Things can hatch in trees,
yes,
when you bring
them
in your house.
Remember the person who found the owl in the tree? The kid thought it was an ornament.
Right.
And it was an owl.
Bugs,
and they get in the heat of in the house, and they hatch.
That's why we leave it outside for a while before we bring it in.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
We used to cut down a tree every single year, and I'm not kidding. It would fall down in our living room every year. It would just topple over. And
we
one
didn't
year,
have a very good stand, though.
We had an old stand, and one year my dad opened the front door and just threw it out in the front yard. Merry Christmas. There you go.
We did that one year. Our tree died. It was just not good. You know, you shake it and the needles all fall off.
Right.
Like, okay, this one's not going to make
it. If you have a dry tree right now, I know it's 2 days before Christmas, but you need to throw it away. The fire department says if it's dry, get it out of the house. Mary, do you make sure that your tree is away from any type of heat source?
Well, yeah, it's been in the same place for 20-some years.
Any candles? Heating vents
no
near
candles.
Your tree?
Are you
no,
sure?
Absolutely fireplaces, not. Radiators, get it away from the heating source.
Nothing there. Not even the TV log.
Not even the TV log. Do you have the correct lights on your trees? This will catch your tree on fire if you have a real tree.
I don't know. We have the little lights.
Does it have the UL or FM label on the lights? If it does not,
no, you're
throw
freaking
them away.
Me out.
Well, people buy things online now, and they're not checking the labels.
Okay,
you want the UL label
on
it.
UL label. Okay.
UL or FM.
I'm sure it's on there. We don't have the big old, remember the big old lights?
Oh, yeah.
I love those.
Those are back.
I know. And, you know, you used to screw them on and off, and every time one of them would die, the whole chain would die.
Right.
Oh, boy.
I hated it.
Then we had tinsel. Tinsel was the best.
That
what
was
a mess.
It was the worst. It would get caught in the vacuum.
Oh, I know.
Every year. Yeah. It's terrible.
We
By
used
the
to
way,
throw it at each other all the time. We have like tinsel fights.
Speaking of the big lights, we had a very big two-story house. And I used to climb, I used to shimmy the roof, like in fifth grade, to hang the lights on the peak of our house. Would you let your kid do that nowadays? It seems so dangerous. Look at that fifth grader up there.
Yeah, now people hire people to do it.
Straddling the house.
They would haul the parents away. They had their kid up there
right.
doing that.
My parents didn't think twice about it. All right,
no.
Climb up on the roof, get
no,
those lights
know.
Up. We got to go. Come
we
on.
Used to clean the fireplace.
How did you clean it?
Well, I mean, just to sweep the ashes out, you know, not
okay.
go up the chimney, but yeah.
We used to climb
clean
it up.
The fireplace.
That
Ooh.
Was normal back in the day. You
yeah.
climb up your house, if you fall off, you're okay. There's bushes down there. It'll catch you. So use the correct lights. If you're buying your lights online, which a lot of people buy things online now, make sure that you have the UL or FM label on those lights, especially if you have a real tree. Do you put sugar or Sprite, sugar water or Sprite in the bottom of your real tree, Mary?
I don't know what my husband does. I think we just water it every day. We
give it a little sugar. Give a little maybe
he might do that.
Some
I don't know.
Pop.
I'm not in charge of the watering of the tree. That's
okay.
Well, the husband or the
throw a little
son.
Sugar in there. Give it some love.
Okay.
Will you do that?
I'll do that for you.
Okay. Jeremy Colleton is coming up next. How about those Blackhawks, man?
How about those
How
Black
about
Hawks?
Those Hawks? The Hawks have won 3 or 4. Let's bring in the head coach, Coach Jeremy Colleton. Coach, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Coach, you got to tell me what happened Saturday night in Colorado. You guys are down 3-1 in the third, and something happened.
Yeah, well, I think we, overall, we played a pretty good game. Second period was one of our better periods of the year. We end up going down 3-1. But to our guys' credit, they kept playing, and we found a way to break through. Big goal with about 8 minutes left, and got rewarded. I thought the urgency and desperation in our game, particularly in the last two periods, was excellent. And then we give ourselves a chance to have success.
You know, we've talked a lot about trying to start well, and if you look at an 82-game schedule. I know it's hard to say, to isolate one game and say, was that a turning point? Was that a big one? And I know, I guess time will tell, but in your time as Blackhawks coach, is that as big a win as you've had, given not only the circumstances, the opponent, and also the fact that you'd struggled against Colorado up till then?
Yeah, that's a good point. It was a big win, and we could use that as a sort of a, you know, a rallying cry or whatever you want to call it. I also think that the previous game against Winnipeg was a big statement too. Just how we came out in the first period, I really liked our approach and intensity. In the first 13, 15 minutes, I thought we dominated the game. And inevitably, there's a pushback from the opposition. They have a good team too, but both games really. Happy with how committed the guys were to playing the game the right way and giving ourselves a chance with our details away from the puck and the work ethic. And but you know, it's how, what do we do now? What do we do next? That's the biggest thing. It's just a couple points in the standings if we don't find some consistency that we can bring night after night. So that'll be the focus.
We're talking about Blackhawks coach Jeremy Colliton. You said after the game against the Avalanche, the guys need to bring it all the time, not just when their backs are against the wall. How do you do that as coach? How do you get your guys to bring it all the time?
Well, I think we got to present to them what a difference it makes when we play the game the right way, when we have that work ethic and, there's the players on the bench encouraging each other to do the right things and holding each other accountable when they don't. That's very powerful. You know, that we, you know, as a coaching staff, we're going to continue to provide direction and here's the plan and this is what we want to do and feedback and all those things. But peer pressure from each other, that's the, you know, most powerful thing you can have. And that's the type of energy we want in the team, in the room before the game, in between periods, and on the bench as well.
Right. Let me ask you about a couple of guys who certainly had a hand in the win Saturday and obviously looking longer term. One is Kirby Dach, and the other would be Dennis Gilbert, who seems to be coming more of a factor for you.
Yeah, you know, it's really encouraging to see the contributions from young players here. That's something we've known needed to happen to move this team forward. And I thought Kirby, that was probably his best game he's played with us. Very influential. You know, he did end up scoring, but, outside of the goal, I thought almost every shift he was having an impact, making plays, skating the puck, winning battles. Very, very encouraging. And obviously nice to see him score. The goal he scored was it turned into an open net, but it was a pretty high skilled play to both catch the, he made the pass to initiate the rush. And then he jumps in and gets it and very high skilled play to hit the net. Because he kind of had to corral the puck, use his reach, and then from a tough angle put it in. And then Gilbert, he's added a different dimension, physical, not afraid to, he's going to hold the other team accountable when they have the puck, and gives us energy with how he plays. And I think he's been quite solid both defensively and with the puck. Makes a lot of strong, sharp plays with it, so very encouraging his play as well.
I love number two. I've always loved Duncan Keith, and you talked about energy and motivation before the game. Wasn't there a game last week where Duncan Keith addressed the players in the locker room?
Well, I don't know if he addressed the players, but he definitely, in media, made a statement as far as, you know, we need to show more emotion and be a little meaner. And I think, you know, that's something that you can always have more of, and it seems like the players have responded, and ultimately, you know, he's led with his play. Like I thought the Winnipeg game and the game in Denver, he was excellent. Played a lot of minutes. I think him and Boqvist have really been good together, and that's what we need from him, because he can provide that for us and take a lot of responsibility.
Yes, the downer of the last couple of games was the loss of Brandon Saad, and you had said to expect him to be out a couple of weeks. John Quenville is coming up from Rockford ahead of tonight's game with New Jersey. So maybe a chance for him to face his old team here. What do you look for from him?
Yeah, so obviously Sauter will be a big loss, and we'll see how long he ends up, you know, whatever length of time you end up missing him, it'll be it'll be tough to replace, but it's an opportunity for young players. It's an opportunity for others to take more responsibility, and Quenville's played really well in Rockford. He came off an injury in camp and sort of worked his way up, and he's playing at a very high level right now, and excited to see what he can bring for us.
You know, I lived in Rockford for 6 years in the 90s. You know how happy those players are getting called up to Chicago?
I lived in Rockford, too. I liked it there. It was good.
I loved Rockford. Don't get me wrong, but you get called up to the big city.
Chicago's a great spot to be, no question.
Right. Absolutely. And what are you doing for the holidays? I know you got a big game tonight. What are you doing for Christmas?
Yeah, just sticking around, spending time with the kids and trying to catch up.
Well, you remember, I'm sure, probably when you were playing, the NHL did not have that Christmas break. This is something that is still fairly recent, where there are no games on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, or the day after. You know, the NBA is playing
right.
Five games on Christmas Day. Is this something that players and coaches have adjusted rather easily to? I would think you like having this little break in the schedule.
Yeah, it's nice. It's that extra day makes a big difference because, you know, even if it's an off day, if you play the next day, it's not, you're still thinking about things and understanding whether you're a player, you got to get prepared to play, or you're a coach getting prepared, you know, you're trying to get your team ready. It's not, you don't get much of a rest in that situation. So that extra day makes a big difference.
Coach, Merry Christmas. Good luck against the Devils tonight.
Merry Christmas to you guys, too. Thanks a lot.
That is Coach Jeremy Colleton.
And New Jersey comes in tonight, 7:30 face-off, and we start our pregame with Chris Bowden at 7, then John and Troy with all the action from the United Center. Should be a festive environment tonight.
That's a fun game to go to tonight.
It is. It's
because
good.
A lot of people aren't working this week. I'm off tomorrow. You got ticks?
No.
A little something?
My little son
something
was
for the
looking
effort?
For some. I said, hey,
I'll go with him.
This is one of the hottest games of the year. Everybody wants to go
I think
a couple
right.
days before
because
Christmas.
Because the kids are home and you want to go. Boy,
people
that's
wear
not
their
a big,
Santa suits.
Now I'm scrambling. And I have a Santa suit in my trunk from Chicago Costume. That's funny.